Welcome to the Pacific Northwest edition of America Outdoors Radio. We've got a fast-paced hour of fishing, hunting, and conservation covering the nation and the Northwest, including 13 extra minutes of local content you'll only hear on Seattle's Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Good morning. Once again, we've got two great guests coming your way today from our great state of Washington, along with a bonus guest during the main portion of our national show. At the bottom of the hour, we'll catch up with Bruce Warren. He's the owner of Fishing for Fun Guide Service, and he just wrapped up an incredible season of catch-and-release sturgeon fishing on the Columbia River. Bruce will also tell you what's coming up next. That would be steelhead fishing on the cowlitz, and he'll give you some tips to help you catch some of those steelies too. Another hot fishery going on right now, sockeye salmon at Lake Wenatchee. Bob Loomis with Max Lure comes on board at the end of the program to break down this fishery for you, and he'll tell you exactly how to rig up to get your limit of 4 salmon out of this lake in the Central Cascades. Before we talk to Bruce and Bob, though, it's time to tell you what's hot this week in the Pacific Northwest. Brought to you by your Puget Sound Sportsman's Warehouse stores in Everett, Silverdale, Puyallup, and Federal Way. Hunting season's coming up quick. As a matter of fact, bear season's already underway, and that means now is the time to get some trigger time at the range. Whether you need ammo or a new rifle or a new rifle scope or hearing protection or targets or other accessories, you can find them all at your local Sportsman's Warehouse store, and there's a good chance some of those products are going to be on sale. You can also shop online anytime at all at sportsmans.com. One thing that's hot at this time of year is crappie, perch, and bluegill fishing in lakes all over Washington State. I was out this week at Eastern Washington's Potholes Reservoir with my best friend, Rusty Johnson, and while it wasn't fast and furious because of the summer heat, we grinded out a nice catch of crappie and bluegill, measuring 9 to 11 inches long, trolling Berkeley flicker shads off the face of the sand dunes at this desert reservoir. These same fish are on the bite at several Western Washington lakes too, including Lake Washington and my old stomping grounds as a teenager, Lake Sammamish. Try fishing close to the docks to catch these fish, and especially with the perch. Morning and evening can bring on a good bite with something as simple as a nightcrawler fished off the bottom with an egg weight. If you want to beat the heat, this is definitely the time to lace up your hiking boots and head to one of the hundreds of alpine lakes stocked with rainbow or cutthroat trout. If you're looking for ideas on where to go, you can check out northwestfishingreports.com or go to the Fish Washington High Lakes page at the WDFW website. I would recommend using single barbless hooks and only keeping what you plan to eat while you're there. I mean, trout meat does not hold up well after a multi-mile hike in your backpack, and these populations can be fragile, but a sure lunch of one or two freshly caught trout, I've got to admit, that's hard to beat. One other tip, too, when it comes to alpine lakes fishing, don't be afraid to bring a fishing rod even to highly visited lakes. 95% of hikers are not fishing at these lakes, they're just hiking to them, so you'll likely enjoy lightly pressured fishing opportunities wherever you go. As for what to use, spinners and spoons that cast a long ways are always a good bet. I like a Max Lure Promise Keeper spinner and the good old Acme Castmaster. Flies, especially a stimulator like a Royal Wolf, also work well. You can fish them with a fly rod or use a casting bubble on your spinning rod to get it out there a little further. Last but not least, it being August, we have to talk about the famous Buoy 10 fishery kicking off at the mouth of the Columbia this coming Friday the 14th. You'll be able to keep one Chinook or hatchery coho during this two-week season, and the Chinook run is definitely stronger than last year, though still only 57% of the long-term average. Coho catches earlier this summer in the ocean off the mouth of the Columbia were great, but they were as well last year. And last year, catching coho at Buoy 10, it was a disappointment. Let's hope that that changes this year and those coho are in at the mouth of the Columbia in good numbers starting next weekend. And with that, you are now in the know as to what's hot this week in the Pacific Northwest.
That's your first local shot of the outdoors. Now let's see what's going on across the nation.
Thank you. It's time for America Outdoors Radio, the show that covers the outdoor scene across the U.S. of A. and the entire continent. Fishing, hunting, conservation, outdoor recreation, and great destinations, we cover it all every week. It's your country, your outdoors. Let's explore it together with your host, John Cruz.
We're starting things off today with a strange story about a toothy monster of the deep who attacked a woman out for a swim. Nope, we're not talking about great white sharks off the coast of Maine or California. We're talking about a big muskie in northwestern Ontario. From the Winnipeg Sun and the Fishing Wire, we learn Kim Driver from Winnipeg was swimming with her family at a fishing resort at the North Star Village when she felt a sharp pain in her leg. Looking down, she saw a 3 to 4 foot long muskie had latched onto her calf. Once it bit her calf, Driver said it started flailing her through the water and took her under. Kim Driver fought back, kicking and punching until the muskie let go and rescuers drug Kim to shore. She sustained a 7-inch gash on her calf that required plastic surgery. There's no word on what happened to the man-eating muskie, but personally, if I'm up there at North Star Village anytime in the next year or two, I might be fishing, but you won't see me dipping my toes into the water. In less scary fishing news, congratulations are in order to my old friend and outdoors writer Jason Brooks. He just took on the new role of being the editor of the Tail Out magazine. Now, the Tail Out is a digital magazine. It comes out every other month, and it's under the umbrella of the Salmon and Steelhead Journal. It is all about salmon and steelhead fishing, not only on the West Coast, but also in the Great Lakes, and now and again, they talk about Atlantic salmon, too, up in the Northeast. If you want to subscribe, just go to salmonandsteelheadjournal.com, look for the page where you'll find the Tail Out, and you'll get this in your inbox every other month for absolutely free. Jason Brooks is a very talented writer. He's a very talented photographer, and I have no doubt he's going to do a great job with the Tail Out in the years ahead. We've got a great hour of the outdoors coming at you this week. We are going to start off in the Shenandoah Valley, chatting with longtime fly shop owner Harry Murray in Edinburgh, Virginia, to see how the trout and smallmouth bass fishing is there this summer. After that, we'll take you from Virginia all the way to Washington State, where we'll check in with one of my favorite places in the whole world, Mardon Resort at Eastern Washington's Potholes Reservoir. This is one of the best fishing lakes in the western U.S. for both walleye and bass, and there are also some monster crappie, bluegill, perch, and trout here too. Marilyn Meesberg, who owns a great resort at the south end of this 28,000-acre lake with her husband Mike, will join us to tell you more about the fishing, the resort, and about some of the fun family things you can do there besides casting a line into the water. Now, whether you're fishing in Virginia or Washington or just about any place else in our nation right now, you know it's going to be warm out, and that means the best times to fish are early in the morning and as the sun goes down, and one of the most effective ways of catching bass during these times of day in the summer is fishing a topwater lure. We're going to revisit two of the most iconic topwater lures ever invented. They are the Jitterbug and the Hula Popper, both a product of Fred Arbogast's imagination over 70 years ago. I've got some in my tackle box, and when my father passed and I opened up his bass tackle box, he did too. However, you might want to check out the brand new Jitterbug and Hula Popper 2.0. These are not your father's or grandfather's Jitterbugs or Hula Poppers, that's for sure. And Ethan Butler will be coming on board towards the end of the program to tell you more about these new and improved classics that look like they're going to be fish-catching machines and iconic lures in their own right. It being August, it's time to think about hunting too, and one of the earlier seasons opening up our nation is in the West, where you can start hunting for pronghorn, or if you want to call them antelope, you can call them that too. It turns out you can still get a leftover or over-the-counter tag in certain states if you're an archery hunter. Mark Kaiser, that very well-known TV and hunting personality from Sheridan, Wyoming, will let you know which states you can hunt in this year, even if you haven't applied yet. Better still, Mark is going to give you some advice on how to find places to hunt, how to get on private land in certain states, and exactly how to tag out on an antelope using that bow and arrow once you do. I really think this is one of the best conversations I've ever had with an expert when it comes to hunting pronghorn, especially with a bow, and you're going to get a lot out of this discussion. Before we pick up our bow and head out west, though, let's pick up our fly rod and go fishing in Virginia. Our first stop today on America Outdoors Radio is Murray's Fly Shop in Edinburgh, Virginia, just a short drive away from Shenandoah National Park. We're checking in with the longtime owner, Harry Murray, to find out how the fishing is. Harry, great to have you on the air again.
John, fishing right now is good. Probably the smallmouth fishing is the top of the line. We're still getting fair fishing on the mountain brook trout streams, really depending on rains. If we get some good rains, they'll carry on. They're calling for some moving in here this weekend. So if we get good rains, we do well in the mountains. Now, the hatches are pretty much over. So what we're doing is fishing terrestrial. Several years ago, I kind of bore down a little bit to see just what terrestrials were there. So I started watching the trout to see just what was going on. And I narrowed it down to six, that what I call my change of pace flies. And I put these together in assortment, and the boys can get that, and they know someplace in there they're pretty well covered. Now, the water temperature's good. I fished a couple days ago in the Blue Ridge, and we had 64 degrees, so they're okay there. Now, good. We put 5 degrees on top of that, and we got problems. But 64, 65, they're okay. So, but what we're doing is really concentrating on the smallmouth bass, primarily on the north and south fork of the Shenandoah River. This fishing has been excellent. For the last month now, it's been good. Our guides have been doing well. Our schools have been doing well. What I play this time of the year, since I'm in the business here most of the day, I can hit the streams in the evening. And the last 2 hours of daylight, smallmouth bass love to slip back in the tail of the pool and feed on minnows that live back there. There are a lot of different minnows that live in the tail of the pool, primarily dace and chubs. And I developed some floating chubs and some floating dace, and we go into the tail of the pool. I enter the riffle below it and work on up into the pool itself, maybe in water a foot and a half deep.
Oh, wow.
And you'll see bass out there chasing live minnows. Well, then I put mine out there and away we go. But this tail of the pool about dusk and evening is definitely fast and easy fishing, and some of these are very sizable fish. But our schools, we're doing some half-day schools, we're doing some full-day schools, and we still have openings in almost, well, I won't say all of them, but we haven't in many of them. And of course, we do a guide service as well. But they can find my schools on the website and just ring us at the number you're going to give them. And the schools have been very successful. We provide the rod and reel for them to use. And, of course, this time of the year, the water's warm enough that they can wade wet, so they don't have to have an outlay of cash to purchase waders.
Well, I'll tell you what, Harry. I love the fact that you're offering these schools. There's the smallmouth fly fishing school. There's the half-day fly fishing lesson. And if you want to try something new, folks, and you've never done fly fishing before, and you live anywhere close to Shenandoah National Park or Edinburgh, Virginia, take advantage of this. This would be a ton of fun. As you just heard, the fishing is great, and you can drop by the shop anytime from Tuesday through Saturday. The hours Tuesday through Friday are 9 to 4, Saturday 9 to 3, and the website to go to so you can get that contact number is murraysflyshop.com. Very simple, murraysflyshop.com. Harry, always appreciate the fishing reports. Sounds like it's been a great summer out there.
Call me anytime I can help, and thank you for ringing me.
This land, once wild and free, fades now from our memory. But I remember what it was like, what we were like, what we are capable of when we band together. Perhaps more than any other landscape, wetlands embody the life-giving abundance that nature has to offer. And perhaps more than any other organization, Ducks Unlimited is working to ensure that our continent's wetlands not only survive, but thrive for generations well beyond this one. These natural wonders are where waterfowl begin their cycle of life, where the deer and the antelope play, and where we, the people, gather together to see and share what makes the outdoors so great. The time is now to band together with organizations like Ducks Unlimited. The time is now to rescue our wetlands.
Hunting and fishing are exercises in hope. Before you head into the woods, you hope to tag out on a deer you'll have to field dress. Before you make that first cast, you hope for a big fish to clean and fillet. When your hopes are realized, you'll need a sharp knife. Whether you sharpen that blade on a power sharpener in the shop or a manual sharpener in the field, WorkSharp has the tool for you. Look for WorkSharp products in sporting goods stores near you or online at WorkSharpTools.com.
Are you looking to reel in the marketing opportunity of a lifetime? Then set the hook, because we've got it right here for you. America Outdoors Radio has sponsorships available, and we offer affordable platforms to reach thousands of listeners interested in fishing, hunting, and the outdoors. Find out more by contacting John Cruz through his website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. That's AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. Hurry, though. If you wait too long, the big opportunity might just get away. AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com.
Backcountry Hunters and Anglers is the voice for your public lands, waters, and wildlife. From the Canadian Yukon to the Florida Everglades, we're stepping up to conserve North America's public lands, defend our hunting and fishing traditions, and expand public access to the outdoors. Our outdoor heritage depends on sportsmen and women like you speaking up for the natural resources that sustain our way of life. Find out how you can get involved at backcountryhunters.org and become a BHA member today.
Fishing and fun. That's what you'll find at Mardon Resort. Come to sunny eastern Washington and bring your RV or rent a cottage, cabin, or room at our newly upgraded resort at the south end of Potholes Reservoir. Get tackle and provisions at our general store. And after you're done fishing, hanging out at our swim beach, or boating for the day, enjoy dinner and a drink at the beach house. Find out more at MardonResort.com. That's MardonResort.com, where the fish bite and we don't.
Sportsman's Warehouse is America's premier outfitter, and with over 90 locations, you're sure to find a store near you full of the gear you need to succeed this hunting season. Firearms, ammo, archery equipment, decoys, clothing, boots, and more. You'll find it all at Sportsman's Warehouse. Better still, the knowledgeable staff can help you with tips and frequent in-store seminars, all designed to help you bag a trophy or a limit this hunting season. Find a location near you or shop online today at sportsmanswarehouse.com.
Tillamook Bay is considered the greatest fishing experience on the West Coast for fall Chinook salmon and winter steelhead, and Dungeness crab is plentiful. Five major rivers connect with the ocean on the Tillamook coast. It's not unusual to snag a 40 to 50 pounder. Go out in a boat or stand on a riverbank or dock. Try fishing from a dory boat and experience the thrill of a beach launch and landing. Use spinners, sand shrimp, or salmon eggs to lure them. The fish will line up to grab your bait. Go to TillamookCoast.com/fishing to find guides and places to stay.
Go fishing. Help salmon and make money. You can do it through September 30th by catching northern pike minnow and turning them in for cash. Here's how it works. First, register at a designated station on the Columbia or Snake River. Then, go fishing. At the end of the day, turn in any pike minnow you catch 9 inches or longer and look for the ones with tags worth $500. You'll get vouchers for those pike minnow you turn in, and you mail those in for cash. Find out more at pikeminnow.org.
Welcome back to America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. Earlier, we took you to the beautiful Shenandoah Valley in Virginia to talk about fly fishing for trout and smallmouth bass. Now we're heading to the other side of the country. We are heading to Eastern Washington, Potholes Reservoir, and Mardon Resort. With us here to tell you more about what I consider to be my happy place is Marilyn Miesberg, the co-owner of this wonderful destination. Marilyn, great to have you on the air.
Good morning, John.
So, Marilyn, let's start off by talking about this literal oasis in the desert. Most people, when they think of Washington State, they think of cedar trees, they think of Puget Sound and ferries and maybe Mount Rainier. But east of the Cascades and where Mardon Resort's located, it's an entirely different setting, isn't it?
We are considered a complete desert here. It was nothing but miles and miles of sand until the Grand Coulee Dam became a reality and brought water to eastern Washington. We grow more food but per acre than most places. We have 4 cuttings of hay. We have 2 cuttings of corn a year. We have all kinds of growth here. Well, with that water came recreation. So Potholes Reservoir is a 28,000-acre lake. The north end of it is all little sand islands, which are fun to play on and fun to fish around by day as well. And then we have the longest earthen-filled dam in the United States. O'Sullivan Dam is 3.5 miles long, and you get to drive across it, and the lake is right there. It's beautiful. We have much more heat than you would have in the Seattle area, which most people view Washington as all trees and forests, but the central part of the whole state is nothing but a giant desert, and it's full of water and fun.
Well, not only that, folks, but just south of that dam is the Columbia National Wildlife Refuge, and there's all sorts of little lakes down there that have trout and warm water species you can fish for, either from a boat or from shore. There's all sorts of state land in this area, too. Lots of state wildlife areas that are prime places to go if you get a permit for mule deer, or if you want to go waterfowl hunting and pheasant hunting. And the fishing at Potholes Reservoir, this is one of the best fisheries in the western U.S. You've got trout, you've got bass, both largemouth and smallmouth, you've got walleye, you've got panfish. How has the fishing been the last couple of weeks?
Well, we've had a big heat wave here, but it hasn't seemed to turn the fishing off. Because we are a reservoir, as the summer progresses, the lake drops as the farmers need water, and that does seem to consolidate the fish a little bit. So the fishing remains very good. People are still catching walleye. The bass has been on fire. We have both trophy-sized largemouth and smallmouth bass in this lake. Recently, we were voted the 10th best bass destination in the United States because we have a heavy population of both large and smallmouth bass. Most of our bass fishing is catch-release, but the walleye is the best-eating fish you can find for a freshwater fish, and the fishing is holding up very well.
One thing that's very unique about your resort is the huge marina. And if you're a guest staying at the resort, you can fish off the docks there. And the fishing, especially for panfish, can be very good. How's the crappie fishing been, the perch fishing, so far this summer?
We've had a banner year for crappie. We had a crappie explosion down there for the whole month of May. It was amazing and nice size, panfish size, actually. And they're still catching them. It has slowed some. It's about time for the perch to come on, and we're starting to see some bluegill as well.
Oh, and folks, the bluegill here, they are monster bluegill. You will catch bluegill up to 11 inches long right off the dock. It's absolutely amazing. Let's talk about the resort itself. You've got the Beach Bar and Grill, which is a great place to go have a meal or a drink. You've got the General Store, which is chock full of fishing tackle and other supplies you need. You've got the boat launch, the marina, like we mentioned, with a fuel dock. And you've got great accommodations that range from tents to RVs to park cottages and cabins. Tell our listeners more about the wide range of accommodations you have and how it's been updated in recent years.
Well, we are in central Washington, so we are a meeting point for families that might live on either side. The east side, Spokane area, people come and meet their Seattle area family and friends here. You don't have to have an RV to come here because we have cottages, we have rental homes, we have camper cabins, or you can bring a tent. We have tent sites. So we're really suited for any type of person. We can accommodate you. So you can fly into a local airport and get taxied here, and just because we have everything, we have the restaurant, we have overnight accommodations in the store, so then you can take care of all of your needs with us.
Well, I'll tell you what, my wife and I literally yesterday were talking about how much we enjoy the park cottages, and folks, they look right out over the reservoir, and some of the most beautiful sunsets you'll ever see is from the little veranda, the covered patios of these park cottages. And these park cottages have everything you need. They've got a kitchenette, they've got a great sleeping accommodations, they're air conditioned, and they even have satellite TV. Sea. Something else we should talk about, this is a really family-friendly place. It's not just about fishing. You've got a very popular swim beach, and I understand you've got a putt-putt golf course that you've been building.
Yes, we have 9 holes completed. It will be an 18-hole course. We've made it, designed it ourselves, and we've made it fairly challenging so adults will enjoy it, not just the kids. And it is lighted, so you will be able to spend the day on the lake swimming or fishing or both and still come in, have dinner, and come up and enjoy a couple rounds of golf. We're still with the COVID closures. Our little factory in one of the southern states that's making the turf, we bought a very special turf that was going to last a long time and hold up, and they've had to be closed down twice now. So our turf has been held up, but our last roll is coming in, I believe, the latter part of this week, so we'll get back to it and hopefully have it finished by the middle of August.
Oh, that's fantastic. And looks like it's going to be a lot of fun, too. Question for you. Visitation this year, I know that a number of destinations that cater to RV travelers and, you know, family travelers are just doing really good this summer. How are you doing?
Well, we actually are doing very well. We had a very rough start. We were very afraid for a while, but once non-essential travel was opened back up again and the fishing season was opened back up again, we opened our gates and we've been busy ever since. People are not, there's hardly any weddings. There's no family reunions. There's no class reunions. There are all these things that are planned in the summer for families. So many of them, unfortunately, have been postponed or canceled. And so people are having more time to go out in their RVs and enjoy small family outings.
You know, it's just like the vacations that you and I had when we were growing up. I mean, it's really a throwback, these drive-to vacation places. And folks, if you haven't figured it out, this is definitely a fantastic drive-to vacation destination. You know, bring the boat, or if you don't have one, you can rent one. Explore Potholes Reservoir, explore the Seep Lakes, enjoy the swim beach, enjoy all the amenities you'll find at Mardon Resort. The website to go to find out more is mardonresort.com, just like it sounds, mardonresort.com. And we didn't even get to all of the events. Now, some of them are being canceled because of COVID, but be sure to go to the events page because there's all sorts of fishing and boating and fun events that take place here throughout the year. And if they're not happening this year because of COVID, they will definitely happen next year. And these would be a great thing to plan a vacation around. Marilyn, always love talking to you. Give my best to your husband, Mike, and I look forward to seeing you again soon.
Thank you, John. Always nice to hear from you.
Fishing and fun. That's what you'll find at Mardon Resort. Come to sunny Eastern Washington and bring your RV or rent a cottage, cabin, or room at our newly upgraded resort at the south end of Potholes Reservoir. Get tackle and provisions at our general store. And after you're done fishing, hanging out at our swim beach, or boating for the day, enjoy dinner and a drink at the beach house. Find out more at mardonresort.com. That's mardonresort.com, where the fish bite and we don't.
Immerse yourself in a complete Alaska wilderness experience through Sportsman's Cove Lodge. Up to 6 of you will spend a week in a beautiful waterfront log home in a secluded cove. Every day is a new adventure. Go on a guided fishing trip or haul in a bounty of shrimp and crab. Visit a Native American village where totem poles are carved. Go on a whale or bear watching trip and return back to your very own place at the end of the day. Find out more about the Alaska Wilderness Experience at alaskasbestlodge.com. That's alaskasbestlodge.com.
Ready for more local fishing and hunting? You got it. It's the Pacific Northwest edition of America Outdoors Radio, right here on Seattle's Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Our first local guest today is Bruce Warren, the owner of Fishing for Fun Guide Service. He just wrapped up his summer catch and release sturgeon fishing down on the Columbia River. Bruce, exactly where were you fishing this summer and how did it go?
Well, John, you know me. I fish out of the Port of Calama area. I don't want to go all the way down to Astoria, and I don't want to go up above Portland. But there is a ton of fish down in that area. We averaged this year 31.55 fish to the boat per trip.
Oh, my gosh. That is amazing. Now, are we talking a lot of three-footers here? Or are we talking about some of those jumbo 6 to 9-footers?
We caught everything in the gambit this year, from 20-inchers up to 8-footers this year.
Sounds like a ton of fun. Mark that on your calendar for next year, folks. You are pivoting, though, to steelhead on the cowlitz. Tell me what this fishery is going to look like.
Well, the water is really low, so we're doing a lot of back trolling in the holes and stuff like that, but the fishing has been fairly good. 2 to 3 fish a trip on an average for some of my partner boats, so I'm going to go down there and play with that.
I presume you're going to be fishing above the I-5 bridge.
Yes, there has been a few fish below the I-5 bridge, but primarily our steelhead focus will be above I-5 up to Blue Creek.
How do you go about catching them this time of year with the low water?
Well, again, we do a lot of back trolling. We'll take a diver of your choice on about a 6-foot fluorocarbon leader, a couple of number ones or one-aught hooks, and with a cured up coonstripe shrimp or one of your favorite plugs.
Would one of those favorite plugs be like a wiggle wart?
Well, a wiggle wart will certainly do the trick, but a 3.5 or a 3.0 Yakima bait product will work. Any good plug that you know and you can get it to stay down in the water will work phenomenally. Concentrate on your metallics, and you will catch fish.
All right, folks, if you want to go fishing with Bruce for steelhead or maybe talk to him about booking a catch-and-release sturgeon trip for next summer, the website to go to, fishingforfunguideservice.com. That's fishingforfunguideservice.com. I've been fishing with Bruce. I can promise you, it is fun and it is productive. Bruce, it's always a pleasure. Looking forward to talking to you again soon.
You bet, John. Thanks, everybody. And John, have a great day.
From well-known saltwater hotspots to hidden alpine lakes, learn the latest in tips, tackle, and techniques to help you catch more fish.
It's going to be a great show.
Northwest Fishing Reports, Sundays at 5 p.m. on Q13 Fox.
Natural wonders, beaches and coves, majestic forests and scenic vistas are waiting for you at the Tillamook Coast. Lace up your hiking boots, grab your camera, and come to Northwest Oregon. Find out more at TillamookCoast.com.
You're back in with America Outdoors Radio, and our next stop today is Sheridan, Wyoming. That's where we're catching up with that well-known outdoors writer and television host, Mark Kaiser. Mark, great to have you on the air again.
Hey, thanks, John. I really appreciate being a part of your show.
Well, when it comes to August and September, I know you always have pronghorn on your mind, and you live in arguably the best state in the nation for hunting pronghorn, but a lot of folks, they don't have tags. If you are an archery hunter, and I know you are, and you want to go after pronghorn this season, are there any options for over-the-counter tags or leftover tags in any of our western states?
Well, there are some options out there. In Wyoming, as great a population as we have, the leftover situation, I just checked it because I knew we were going to be on the air, is just down to 2 units.
Oh,
and
wow.
They're both south of Gillette. But you could buy those tags online. You can just go get them online. The big problem with those 2 units are they are a lot of private land. Now, in the past, the Gillette Chamber of Commerce has kept a list of landowners willing to allow hunters on, so you could check with that there. And then there are several parcels of public land out there, basically BLM, but some state sections out there as well that you could hunt. But it's really a tough area just to say, hey, I'm just going to load the truck up and head over. If it were me, I would go one state further east to my old stomping grounds where I used to live and get an over-the-counter tag in South Dakota.
Oh, okay. I didn't know they had OTC tags there. I understand that Nebraska, and this one kind of surprised me, has over-the-counter tags for archery hunters, too.
Nebraska does, and I recently did a story on this. So the states where you can get over-the-counter tags, and that term is a loose term. Like South Dakota, you have to purchase them online. They do have one office at the state capitol where you can actually walk in and get them, but it's just easier. Just purchase them online. But other states you could look at are Colorado has some areas in the southeast corner. Again, not a ton of public land, but enough you could pull a hunt off. Idaho has a few unlimited units. Montana None. It's all draw.
Okay.
And then the only other one that, like I said, South Dakota is the big one. The other states that have pronghorn in them are all draws, and you need to get in those draws early in the spring to be assured you're going to get a tag.
Okay. So let's say that you do decide to buy one of these tags online, whether it be in South Dakota or Wyoming or Colorado or Nebraska. The next stop is where to go. And you mentioned that there is some public land that you can hunt, but a lot of these areas, private land. What do you recommend when it comes to getting on private land? I mean, it's not like there's going to be a lot of doors to knock on in these places, is there?
No. As I mentioned, some of these communities do thrive on hunters, so they have connections in their offices, like tourism departments, local, not the state one, but the local tourism departments, chamber of commerces, any of those offices. I would check with those first. I would also, you know, check with a game warden or a conservation officer in that region. He may know of someone that maybe has a irrigated hayfield, a pivot that's got 200 antelope on it, and he wants to move them. Just like sometimes, same way with elk, you know, when you get a lot of critters on one small parcel and they'll focus in on these green fields, it can be a big loss of feed that these guys or gals may need later in the winter. So those are two things I would do. The other thing is obviously, you know, just buy the tag and do a lot of driving around and knocking on doors. But one thing I tell people a lot, if you don't think there's a lot of public land out there, you know, you're looking at all these little yellow and orange dots or whatever on a map, don't forget those state lands. Not only the school sections, but there's other state lands scattered about. I see it right here, you know, in my backyard of north central Wyoming. I hunt in Montana, some of the state lands. South Dakota has some. Those little chunks might just be the connecting dot where animals are crossing, where animals are going to hide for the day, to bed up for the day. You know, they may not stay on a green irrigated hay field all day. So those are really kind of overlooked little gems. And on most maps, they're blue, I believe, the color.
Let's talk about how to do a successful archery hunt. To me, it's a daunting prospect. A lot of the lands we're describing are wide open spaces, and you've got to get close to an animal that's known for incredible eyesight. And once they see you, they're taking off, and they're called speed goats for a reason. How do you go ahead and do a successful archery hunt?
What I always recommend to people is to take a three-pronged approach for pronghorns, pun intended.
I had a feeling.
And that's to bring everything along, the kitchen sink. And what I tell people is first bring a ground blind. Because like this year in Wyoming, and at least in my corner of Wyoming, and pretty much the whole state, it's very dry. So water holes could be very effective, water hole hunting. The second thing I would bring, and even in August this works, is a decoy. Whether it's a big 3D archery decoy you set out near a water hole or on a green field, or the foldable portable type, and go full out if you're going to use that portable type and stalk in and get behind it, go all out and get one of those Be the Decoy outfits, basically the hat. So when you come up over the top, they're still seeing an antelope head. That hat looks like an antelope head peering over the decoy. Gives you another few seconds to get a shot off. And the third thing is stalking. A good binocular, you know, out in this country, I usually use a 10-power binocular. I use a 6-hour Zulu 10-power. And possibly big heavy wool socks or even some fleece booties. And to stalk an antelope, you've got to spot them from way off, try to find a lone buck separated from himself, and then take a downwind approach. They're not quite as flighty if they smell you. Especially, I've seen a decoy, and sometimes they just ignore you, the smell. But when you're stalking them, you know, and they're laying there not looking at something, you're trying to get behind them to get up and get a shot. If they smell you, they'll definitely run. And those big eyes stick out for a reason. They can see almost 360. So you got to come up from behind them exactly when they're looking straight away, when you're going to make your draw, or when they've got their head down browsing or something like you normally would on a deer or an elk.
Mark, this is some fantastic advice. One last question. You always hear about waving a flag to attract the attention of a curious pronghorn that might actually walk right up to you. Is that an effective technique for archery hunting, or is it just a technique that has a certain time and place?
I think it's more of a myth. I've never had it work. I've talked to some guys. I've tried it too. The white flag, I think when people say it works, the antelope are seeing it, and they'll come in closer to a point, but maybe not archery range, but they're thinking it's the white rump of another antelope. Antelope have a lot of white on them, and obviously they can see really good. You know, they're looking around. So if they see some white flash off in the distance, they may approach it. I just think they're just not going to cut that distance. I think you're way better off having your Be the Decoy outfit on, using a portable decoy like Flambeau offers, or Montana Decoy, the Photo Screen Decoy. I think that's a way better option.
So if folks go to Mark Kaiser, and folks, that's spelled K-A-Y-S-E-R, markkaiser.com, can they find additional resources about pronghorn hunting?
Yeah, they can go right to my YouTube page, and I've got all kinds of hunting videos there, including pronghorn ones. And a lot of them are just like we're talking here. It's straight-up advice on how to do it. And one last thing I would tell people, as the rut nears in September, antelope breed mid-September, and they get pre-rutty late August, early September, you can vocalize to antelope too, and they have a real high-pitched bugle. Their breeding, their rutting mimics elk to a T. It's exactly the same. And they bugle, they have satellite bucks circling another buck with his harem. So just think elk hunting, look up and try to figure the sound of an antelope bugle, and you can mimic that. You can just do it your voice. I just do it with my voice a lot of times. It sounds like a snort. You know, they snort an alarm, but it's then it carries on. It's like, and that's an antelope bugle. And that alone can bring an antelope over a hill. I've done that on numerous times. Seen an antelope go over a ridge, bugle at him, he comes running right back to see what's going on. Or bugle at him and get him closer to your blind. He's a decoy out there. You know, lots of ways to use that. But it's a tool a lot of people don't realize, that antelope even talk to each other.
Mark, we've got 30 seconds left. If folks want to check out your TV show, what's the name of it and where do they go to see it?
Pursuit Channel, Deer and Deer Hunting TV. It's on Saturday night, Deer Camp, or go to deerandeerhunting.com. And they can just look at everything they want right there online. And I'd love it if they do it. I get a kick out of doing that TV show.
That's deerandeerhunting.com for Deer Hunting TV on the Pursuit Channel. And don't forget to check out Mark Kaiser's website at markkaiser.com and check out his YouTube channel too. Mark, it is always a pleasure to have you on America Outdoors Radio.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Why book at Sportsman's Cove Lodge?
Why is Alaska like no other place on earth? It hasn't changed in thousands of years.
From the way you get here on a float plane to the way you go out with the guides and the boats, it's just a professional experience.
And I said, this is as good as it gets. I said, if you can't catch fish here, you can't catch fish anywhere.
Your experience with us will leave you speechless.
Book now at alaskasbestlodge.com.
The Dalzen, Oregon is your base camp for fishing fun. Reel in big salmon, tangle with steelhead, bass, and walleye, or wrestle a monster sturgeon to the boat. After the day is done, you'll find a variety of lodging options around town. Need to resupply? We've got you covered with sporting goods stores, plus great dining, breweries, wineries, and can't-miss attractions like the Gorge Discovery Center. Plan your fishing getaway today at explorethedalles.com. That's explorethedalles.com.
Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm.
During difficult times, it's important not to be frozen by fear or complacency, thinking that Congress, the Fed, or your current financial planner will fix the impact of the pandemic on your retirement savings. The bottom line is, no one else is going to care about your retirement the way you do. There is another more conservative way to plan for income without all the risk, using interest and dividends. Call 888-888-4176 now to learn how the Retirement Income Store can help during these uncertain times. 888-888-4176. We'll send you our Retirement Income Kit with five educational tools, including David Scranton's best-selling book, 888-888-4176. The Retirement Income Store. Where retirees go for income. Call 888-888-4176 now.
A sharp blade makes short work of any project you have in the outdoors, in the kitchen, or in the shop. Hone your knives and tools with quality power and manual sharpeners from Worksharp. Find out more at WorksharpTools.com.
Looking to reel in the marketing opportunity of a lifetime? Then set the hook, because we've got it right here. America Outdoors Radio has sponsorships available, and we offer an affordable platform to reach thousands of listeners interested in fishing, hunting, and the outdoors. Find out more by contacting host John Cruz through his website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. That's AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. But hurry, if you wait too long, this big opportunity might just get away. That's AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com.
You're back in with America Outdoors Radio, and I'm really excited about our next guest. His name is Ethan Butler. He hails from Fort Smith, Arkansas, and he's the brand manager for Arbogast. Now, Arbogast, if you are a bass angler, you're probably familiar with this name, because this company's been around since 1928. In fact, the founder, Fred Arbogast, was working for Goodyear Tire in Akron, Ohio, and started carving lures, and folks loved him so much that he decided to give up his job with Goodyear and start a lure company, and he designed some iconic lures that we're going to talk about today. Ethan, it's great to have you on the air.
Hey, thanks for having me, John. I appreciate it.
So let's start off with the jitterbug. It was invented in 1938, and I think, you know, this, along with the hula popper we're going to talk about in a minute, are lures that not only do your fathers have in their tackle boxes, but your grandfathers have too. Two of the best go-to topwater lures that were used by generations. Why don't we start off with the old jitterbug and then talk about the new jitterbug 2.0?
You know, you're exactly right, John. I mean, there's a reason these jitterbugs are still around today, is they still catch fish. And it's remarkable that a lure constructed in the 1930s and 40s is still, you know, in tackle boxes today. So that's kind of our main goal with bringing this new jitterbug 2.0, is you kind of hit the nail on the head there. It's in a lot of your dad's and your grandpa's tackle boxes, but you just don't see it in a lot of younger kids' tackle boxes. So we just really wanted to give it a facelift and make it appeal to this next generation of anglers coming up. So some of the key features on it, you know, we added a black nickel finish hook. So we got split rings on there. The new crackleback patterns as well give it a really cool look with the feathers on the back. So just kind of really wanting to make it look a lot more appealing to this next generation.
Well, I'll tell you what, you've succeeded, and I might be from the generation that has the old jitterbugs, but I am really excited about getting my hands on some of these and using them. Now, folks, the jitterbug, if you're a bass angler, you probably know this if you've fished them before. It does its best work during low light. In other words, if you're fishing this at dusk or as dusk turns to night, you know, it's got this paddle in the front of it that just creates this disturbance as you just fish it back towards you. And that's what triggers those strikes. Now, in addition to the fact that it's got everything you described, it's also jointed. So it's going to have a lot more movement than the old jitterbug too.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, the jointed phase is really kind of trendy right now in the fishing world, with the jointed swim baits and jointed wake baits. So that's kind of the reason we went with that, is just because that's really popular right now. And we've also added a couple rattles inside there to give it a sound aspect. So a couple new things and different things that I think these new jitterbug fanatics are really going to appreciate.
I also really like the multicolored feathers, and the color patterns just pop, and I know those are going to work great. You've got similar color patterns on another old standby, the hula popper. Now, Fred invented this one in 1948. I've still got a couple in my tackle box, and this is basically just a topwater plug, for lack of a better words. It's got a big round surface at the nose, and you just kind of pop it. And at the rear, traditionally, it's had this plastic kind of hula skirt, which over time always seems to rot, and you always have to replace it, or a lot of hula poppers just don't have it. You've solved that problem with the new Hula Popper 2.0.
Yeah, you know, that was one of our big goals. It just seemed like that rear rubber skirt wasn't really appealing much anymore. And like you said, it was having some issues with rotting and over time. So a quick, easy fix for that was the feather in the back. And That feather actually sits differently in the water than that rubber skirt. One of the things that the rubber skirt did is it obviously rubber floats in the water, so it kind of flares out and added a little bit larger of a profile. But this rear feather treble hook, it's actually going to sit further down in the water, and so it's not going to appear quite as big to the fish, so the fish can actually hone in on that feather treble hook better than they could possibly hone in on that the rubber skirt in the past.
Very interesting. The color patterns, how did you come up with these? I mean, are they meant to mimic the forage, or are they meant to attract us as anglers?
A little bit of both. A little bit of both. We kind of took some of our more popular colors in the past Arbogast patterns, like obviously black, you know, a black jitterbug or a black tulip popper. That's just iconic there. So we kind of leapfrogged off of that, and we really wanted to bring the crackle aspect to it. So the crackling sensation is really neat, the way they do that. That's actually created from the top layer of paint there, that when they apply that, that paint actually shrinks up, and it creates that crackling sensation when it dries. So the colors, a lot of them just come from some of the past patterns, but then we obviously added the blue kill pattern as well.
I'll tell you what, pun absolutely intended here. Those crackle colors, they pop, just like the hula popper, and just like those bass can be popping out of the water to smash those jitterbugs when you're fishing them in the evening. Last question for you. The Arbogast company, whatever happened to it? Did Fred sell it? Was it passed down to the kids? I just kind of lost track of what happened to this very iconic company.
Yeah, so it was actually acquired by a company called Pradco Outdoor Brands. So Pradco, actually, they own about 19 other fishing companies right now. So some of the other ones you may have heard of, you got like Yum Baits, Rebel Lures, Booyah Baits, Smithwick, Bomber, War Eagle. I mean, they have a lot of iconic brands, and obviously Arbogast is a great addition to that. So yeah, right now, I know Pradco is housed in Fort Smith, Arkansas. We kind of do all the product development here in Fort Smith and all of our marketing internally as well. So that is where Arbogast is at, is with Pradco Outdoor Brands right now.
Well, it sounds like a good place to be, and it certainly has a lot of good company in terms of other iconic lures, a whole bunch of lures of which I still have in my tackle box, too.
Yeah.
We got to go. But if folks want to buy the new Jitterbug 2.0 and the new Hula Popper 2.0, and I know I want to, where do we go to get them?
Yes, the best place to go and get these, you'll be able to get when it first comes in stock, is LureNet.com. So LureNet.com is where you can go buy these. I've got all the Hula Popper colors and all the Jitterbug colors as well. So I believe they both retail for a price of $7.99.
All right. That's not too bad for a bass plug these days. Again, it's the Jitterbug 2.0 and the Hula Popper 2.0. Variations on a very successful theme. I think you'll want to check them out, and I think you're going to find room for them in your tackle box. Go to LureNet.com. And as soon as they're in stock, pick some up, and you'll be fishing and catching. Ethan, thanks so much for sharing this with us today on America Outdoors Radio.
Thanks for having me, John.
Before we go today, congratulations are in order to a big winner on the Bassmaster Circuit. Now, I don't know if Brandon Polinick, that fantastic young bass angler from Idaho, was using a jitterbug or a hula popper or not, but I do know he did do a bunch of drop shotting to weigh in over 80 pounds of bass over 4 days, to include a final day bag of over 21 pounds that gave him a come-from-behind win on Lake Champlain bordering New York and Vermont at last week's Bassmaster Elite Tournament. And in doing so, Brandon took home a check for a cool 100 grand. Congratulations, Brandon, and to all of the anglers that competed in that very hard-fought tournament at Lake Champlain. We've got another reminder about that giveaway we're doing at our America Outdoors Radio Facebook page with our friends from Worksharp. If you want a chance to win an electric combo knife sharpener, a really nice manual field-guided sharpener, and a snazzy baseball cap, all you have to do is go to our America Outdoors Radio Facebook page, like and follow that page, look for the post where we're doing the giveaway, and just tell us what state you're from. That's all we need to know. We're kind of trying to keep track of where our listeners are tuning in from. Just need the state, nothing else. One lucky person who enters is going to win all of this, and we're going to draw on August 31st. It's our Sharp Summer Giveaway from Worksharp. Go ahead and enter. It doesn't cost you a thing to do so. If you didn't get to catch this entire show or just want to check out some other ones, you can find us on all sorts of platforms. Just look for America Outdoors Radio, whether it be on Pandora or Stitcher or TuneIn or Radio Public or Podbean or at Apple Podcasts. We're there, and we tend to post our shows about 3 or 4 days after they air, but we've got a whole archive of past shows that you can listen to and enjoy. Again, look for America Outdoors Radio and tune into some of our sister show content from the Northwestern United States, too. Those would be our Northwestern Outdoors Radio podcasts. We've got to go, and as we continue to wade our way through this crazy summer of COVID, I do hope you're staying safe out there. Wear those masks where it's appropriate. It's really important we stay healthy and work together so that we can all stay healthy. It's also important to retain your sanity, and I know one way of doing that is spending time outside, whether it's fishing, whether it's boating, whether it's hunting, whether it's hiking. It is therapeutic. You know that, and I know that. So, here's hoping that you are blessed in the days ahead. Here's hoping that you stay healthy. And here's hoping you get outside to spend some time with Mother Nature. After all, it is your country and you're outdoors, so get out there and enjoy it.
Looking for that extra something that will get more salmon or trout into your boat? Then check out the Double D Dodger from Max Lure. The Double D does double duty and helps you catch more fish. The Double D's flash attracts lunkers, and the Dodger's patented stop-start action works wonders to get those fish biting. The Double D does even more by acting as a side planer to get your bait away from the boat where the fish are more likely to be and more apt to strike. The Double D Dodger, it's the Dodger you've got to have from Max Lure.
Don't leave yet. We've got one more local shot of fishing and hunting to wrap up the Pacific Northwest edition of America Outdoors Radio.
We've got a special Max Minute for you today, and we're going to be focusing on sockeye fishing at Lake Wenatchee in Washington Central Cascades. With us here to tell you exactly how to do this and get some of those sockeye to your boat is Bob Loomis. Bob, great to have you on the air.
Thanks, John.
So let's talk about the sockeye lure anglers ought to use for success at Lake Wenatchee during the month of August.
John, there's a lot of things that you can use, but some of the stuff that I'm going to start out with right off the bat is the Double Whammy Sockeye Pro. The Double Whammy Sockeye Pro is high UV beads or glow beads with a smile blade on there. Just a basic setup. It's great for attraction for the sockeye. Works fantastic behind a Double D Dodger. You know, you can slow troll it. You get the added movement, the color, the flash. It works really, really well for the sockeye up there.
So a couple of questions when it comes to this. When you're tying this sockeye rig behind the Dodger, I've heard that for sockeye, that you use a really short leader. How short should you go?
Well, the typical rule of thumb on any type of leader length compared to your Dodger is 2.5 times. I'll tell you quite truthfully, with the large 8-inch Double D, I've fished as short as 7 inches.
Wow.
I mean, and what it does is it imparts a tremendous amount of movement on the lure.
Okay. So we'll just go ahead and say anywhere from 7 to 18 inches then?
Correct.
All right. What about speed?
Well, speed for sockeye, you're going to want to fish slow. It's like fishing kokanee. It's not like out in the saltwater fishing for chinooks or silvers where you're having to fish up around 2.5 to 3 miles an hour. You know, you're fishing down in that 1.1, 1.3 miles per hour range. So you're slow trolling, and that's why the Double D works really well along with that the Sockeye Pro.
All right. It's the Max Sockeye Pro and the Max Double D Dodger. Your 1-2 punch for Lake Wenatchee sockeye this summer. Look for them at sporting goods stores in Central Washington or online at maxlure.com.
That's all for this week, but don't worry. We'll do it all again next Saturday morning from 7 to 8 right here on Seattle's Sports Radio 950 KJR.